Welcome to this episode of the Growth Cast. It is me, Jackson Campbell, joined here again with Dallas Pruitt for another extended cut episode. Last one of the month of March. So we're going to be wrapping up our book of the month this month. That was Ikigai. But before we do that, just a quick introduction of the podcast. Like I said, my name is Jackson Campbell, co-host here on these extended cut episodes with Dallas Pruitt every single Saturday. So join in with us every Saturday for these extended cuts. If you're new to the podcast, let me give you a quick rundown on the schedule of the podcast, the Growthcast here. Monday through Thursday, we've got episodes with Dallas Pruitt. We call those the Daily Drips. Dallas jumps on and gives us mindset principles, 3 to 5 minute long episodes that are very powerful. Definitely tune into those to get your mindset right. On Friday, we've got Aloha Friday episodes with Tyler Devereaux and myself. I also get to co-host on those episodes where I interview Tyler on mindset principles, multifamily principles, and just how to grow your life and how to become your best person. So definitely tune into those Friday episodes. They're very impactful and very good to hear from Tyler and kind of hear his perspective on things. So definitely tune into those. Very, very good episodes. But let's dive in here today, Dallas.
Let's do it.
Real quick, before we get going, how are you, my man? How's things?
Dude, great. Life is great. No complaints.
Good, dude. Good. Ikigai was our book of the month this month. For those of you that may just be joining us, we do a book of the month every single month on these extended cuts. And then we jump on these extended cuts and we talk about the book that we've assigned to this month. This month, we read the book Ikigai. It's a fantastic book. Is a fantastic book. And if you haven't read it, let me just kind of give you just a really brief overview of what Ikigai is. Ikigai is the Japanese concept that translates to a reason for being or a reason to get up in the morning. It refers to the intersection of what you love, what you are good at, and what the world needs, and what you can be paid for. It's a great book, Dallas. Ikigai was a fantastic book. It taught a lot of principles. Taught a ton of really good principles on how you can kind of find that your purpose in life is really what it comes down to. But Dallas, in this book, what would you say, what are some of those key takeaways for you? What maybe we can highlight pillars of Ikigai, right? The book goes through pillars of Ikigai. So maybe I'll turn it over to you and maybe we can go through those four pillars of Ikigai.
Sweet. I love the idea of like jumping into the East world meets the West world, because it's such a different type of mentality, right? And I come from you know, a small town in the Mountain West where, you know, very blue collar and very linear in terms of like, hey, get an education, get a good job. And that's great, man. It's like, I love the blue collar background that I have. It taught me so many lessons, but there's so many other lessons to be learned outside of just that lesson of hard work and, right, being loyal and you know, finding a career and the story we're told. And this East world Ikigai, right, it's more of this approach to life that's all about like discovering who you are, what you're good at, and it's a life of discovery, and it's not this linear, you know, lesson that's taught at a young age of like, hey, do this, and this is what you need to do, you know? And that's why I think I was so drawn to Ikigai, is because those are lessons that I wasn't really taught, you know, at a high level growing up. I had this idea of what life needed to be and what I needed to do to have a good life, but discovery was something that kind of was capped off at childhood. You know, once you became a certain age, it was like, hey, pick your avenue and do that really well and then grow in that avenue because that's the career path you chose. I speak to that because I came from traditional education. I have a master's degree. I went to school for a very long time. I liked school.
You were
school.
Almost a principal. Yeah.
Totally. But like my years of discovery when I became an adult, they were done. I had went to, you know, Brazil and had some discovery there. It was the best, honestly, a couple of the best years of my life. But then I came home and like that sort of started to die off. It was job, next job. What's the next job to do? What do I need to check off the list next? And then so Ikigai is like not this lesson that's taught from an early age, right? In this culture, this approach to life is more of a zigzag. It's more of a discovery. It's more of a journey. And that's what I love the most, is it's like, you know, you talked about these pillars of, or you were asking me about these pillars of, right? What makes up your ikigai, your passion, what you're passionate about, what your mission in life is, what you can get paid for, right? Vocation, and then what's this profession that you've decided to tackle and become great at in your life? And it's just like, I've learned more about myself through bringing back into the forefront of my life discovery, right, as an adult. I learned more about who I am, what I'm capable of, what the world needs, how I fit in there, right, uniquely. And my health has also increased from adopting this type of approach. And what's crazy is the onset of that happened after I had gotten my master's degree, after I had been in that position and checked off all those items, gotten married, had some kids, bought a home, and was in my profession, right, that I was going to be in for the rest of my life. When I pushed against that, and I didn't necessarily resist in a negative way, but like, I guess resisted in a positive way and accepted some different perspective, right? Opened my mind up to some different ideas, some different approaches, and then tested those things out. That's when things changed for me as an adult. And it almost gave me this sense of feeling childlike again, which was extremely fulfilling, and extremely productive. Extremely productive as well. Exploration was extremely productive. And so anyways, yeah, I think that's what I love the most about Ikigai, man, is it's like, it's a completely different mentality. It's a completely different mentality to life than what we're, a lot of us are taught from a young age.
Yeah. No, dude, it's interesting. And it leads right into what I wanted to talk about today. And it's the cultivating Ikigai in your life. How do you cultivate Ikigai, right? We just read this fantastic book this month about these amazing principles that you just went over, right? Discovering your passion, identifying what your mission is in line with your passion. You know what I mean? Find vocation, find how are you going to find fulfillment in that mission and in that purpose, in that passion. And then, like you're saying, make it your profession. Make it your profession so that now you're not only living your passion and accomplishing your mission, but you're also making a benefit and you're making a wage from it, right? So it's interesting that you bring up the fact that you brought it. It's like you came up in a life. I came up in the same world, right? Where it was almost backwards. It was almost like, what is it that you can do to acquire what you want, and then figure out how to do whatever it is that you need to do to acquire the things that you want, right? It's all about this next thing. It's all about getting this next thing. Get your degree so you can get a good job, so you can get a good car, so you can have a nice house, so you can have a good life, right? It's backwards. It's backwards in our society and at least how you explained how you grew up, when really what Ikigai teaches is that it should be the opposite of that. Live your life and figure out what your passions are as you're living your life and as you're living through experiences. Figure out what you're passionate about. Figure out what your strengths are. Figure out what that purpose that you're here to do, and make those things one. And then worry about how you're going to use those things to make a monetary gain.
I want to challenge something on today's Extended Cut, which is, you know, the question is asked me, it's asked to adults of all ages, like, if you could go back, what would you do differently, right? And I would say the challenge is you don't have to go back and do differently. You can do differently now. There's no better time than now to just do differently. So that's the challenge, right, for adults who are listening, which is everyone, honestly, that listens to the Growth Cast. But, you know, looking back, that's something that I am going to teach my kids is, hey, you don't need to go pull a student loan out so that you can just go run down. If you don't have the means, like, go acquire, like you said, a student loan so that you can go acquire the job, right? Because the job matters. No, what matters, what really matters, is finding out what you're passionate about, self-exploration, right? Being curious, looking to serve people, help others, right? Attach that kind of approach to your exploration. Like, those kinds of things matter. And so at 20, at 21, or at 30 or 31, again, at 40, 41, it does not really matter. Starting matters. Doing it matters. So challenge that if you could go back, you don't have to go back to do that, right? But help those that are earlier on in the process, like my children, you know, I want them to be, I want them to explore. I want them to ask questions. I want them to be curious.
Yeah.
Curiosity is key, man. And we lose that.
It is.
We lose that to a certain level if we're not paying attention, right? As we move into adulthood. I wanted to share an experience on this because you actually touched on it really quick, and then I'd love to spit it back to you because I know you have a couple other things to touch on. But, you know, be open to new experience was one of the things that you were, you know, leaning into. And recently I went on a snowboarding trip for the first time in like 10 years, man. I used to go when I was a child all the time. I loved snowboarding. It was so fun, dude. I went with my mom, of all people, and it was amazing.
That's awesome.
She hadn't been forever either. But, dude, it was this childlike feeling, right, that I had again as I was coming down the mountain where I was like, oh, my gosh, like this is what life is about. Like this is a feeling that I don't want to be foreign, you know, every 10 years. And it's important to live a certain way that allows you to tap into that. Right, on a regular, as a regular occurrence, not just this like awesome reward that you give yourself after 10 years of being stuck in a cave working on a project. No way, no way is life supposed to be that way, right? And I was better this week, literally, for having done that, like in every aspect of my life, professionally, right? Ikigai, like that's, dude, I love the mountains. I love being outdoors. I love winter. Like, I got to go tap into that, and it did something for me that yielded amazing positive results. So, yeah, you know, new experiences, man, or old experience that you once had that you haven't tapped in for a while, that's a good move.
Experiencing those things.
When we talk about Ikigai, absolutely. But,
you talk about Dallas, you talk about just changing that and just doing it, right? You talk about like just making that decision and start doing the things you're more passionate about and that your strengths are and that your purpose is aligned with and really figuring that out and get out of that trap of the, I have to do X, Y, and Z to get A, B, and C. Get out of that trap. So we talked about a couple of those tips on how we can do that. One of the things you talked about was be open to new experiences. Right? One of those things that I wanted to talk about was be open to new experiences. When you're open to new experiences, you learn more about yourself. It comes back to that curiosity piece that we were just talking about, being curious and truly like cultivating a relationship with yourself during these new experiences and how you're reacting to them, how you're responding to them, and what they do for you. Another one of those things that is absolutely a tip that the book talks about when cultivating Ikigai is connecting with others. Building a relationship with others is going to help you stay grounded to your purpose, to your passions, is if you're doing it with people that are in line with those, your purpose and passion, and that you work on them together, right? And my favorite thing that the book mentions that is also a tip to cultivating Ikigai is to live a grateful life. Be grateful for these new opportunities, these new experiences, these new connections that you're making as you really figure out what your passion is, what your strengths are, and you start shifting your work and your life towards those things. Be grateful for the opportunity and be grateful that you have the knowledge that you have to be able to make those decisions and make those changes to really cultivate just a more purposeful and meaningful life for yourself. So those are just a couple of those extra tips that I wanted to throw out there for those that didn't read the book, that are kind of understanding what Ikigai is all about now, is live gratefully, do these things, and be grateful for the opportunity that you have to truly know them. Right? I think a lot of the times we fog things up as individuals. We make things really complicated when we don't need to. Like I was at the gym and this past week, and a thought that just came into my mind was a really simple thought was, man, I'm grateful that I can be here. I'm grateful that I and that thought went down the road of I'm grateful I have legs that got me here. I've got a car that drove me here, that I have a heart beating and a body that works for me to be able to reverse some of the bad decisions that I've made. For whatever reason, that gratitude, it was just so pure and so simple that it really fuels me to keep going. There's people that have very bad health issues and like that don't, that can't walk, that can't get to the gym, that can maybe walk on the treadmill for a few minutes before they're completely gassed. And if you can find gratitude in those moments and those simple things and those simple joys that give you the ability to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish, that give you the means to the ends, it makes all of these things that we're talking about so much easier to be able to shift and pivot. Yep. Because your mindset then becomes on what it is that you're grateful for and how those things help you become the person you want to be, rather than making decisions on acquiring things.
Yep.
When you lose gratitude, when you lose that sense of gratitude inside of you, all you want to do is get more, 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 right? You're always chasing pleasure, you're always chasing new things when you lose that sense of gratitude for what it is that you have and the journey that you've been on and the things that you've learned there.
Yeah. It's, you said curiosity, connection, and gratitude. Those three things right there are extremely powerful components for growth. It's mindfulness, you know. That's really the East world that we need to like bring further and further into, whether it's, you know, the monk mentality, you know, or whatever it is. There's lots of different aspects to it. Ikigai, right? Like mindfulness. As in Western culture, again, it's a lot. You said it's almost like painful, right? Like thinking, we make things complicated. It's because most of our time is spent thinking about acquisition, thinking about what we need to do next. And don't get me wrong, and don't get this twisted. Thinking is important, right? But being mindful about how we approach our day, why? The why behind that acquisition, right? What that represents, what that means, who we're involving in that, right? The connection part, being grateful for what's happening right now and not delaying that gratification or that gratitude for 2 years down the road when you finally acquired what it is you wanted and were working towards. It's both are important, you know, both are important, but mindfulness is crucial. And if you have thinking without mindfulness, that is actually very unhealthy. And great, there's a lot of people I've met, and there's a lot of stories and articles that I've read of people who were stuck in that space, right? It ended tragically in a lot of cases. Right, I'm talking big time business owners whose lives were riddled with mental health issues because they couldn't get out of that cycle. Right, it had happened for so long. Right, and they're sad stories. But we have an opportunity every day to combat that. Right, with just making a pivot. Just making a change. And then instead, again, I think one of the key components to figuring it out, Jax, is, you know, you fight and combat fear with curiosity. Curiosity is a great way to do that, right? Like instead of being like, oh, I could never do that. I'll go back to my life real quick because I know we're limited on time on these things. But I used to spend a ton of time thinking back when I was a teacher, when I had these, you know, when I was thinking like, oh man, like, how could I do that? Like, how could I make that happen? How can I don't know if I could ever make this transition. I'm too far into this. Like, right? Like, that means this. And then it was just like, boom, 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 yeah. This negative cycle of thinking. And then all of a sudden, things started to change when I started to get curious. And I was like, well, what if I did this? Right? And then, like, the lack of knowing, instead of scaring me, when I started to ask the right questions and really leaned into curiosity is like, but what if I could, right? What if I could do that? What would happen if I did this? Hey, that started to like move me towards doing it. And it was like, actually, I want to go find out what would happen if I do this. I actually, you know what? And I don't even care if it doesn't work. Like, I'm just curious. Like, I literally just want to know, like, if I did this one thing that's a sub-step to, you know, the long-term picture, what will happen? And then you find out that, like, you're not going to die. There's nothing super bad that can come from it. And you do it, and all of a sudden you find out that, like, actually, it was an extremely positive, like, enlightening learning experience that helped propel you more steps forward than what you ever thought even the one step was going to be, you know? So I think curiosity is a great way to combat fear. And I also think the acquisition part, that's something to close out on, man, is it's just like when we're stuck in acquiring, right? That is actually not an abundant mentality. That is a scarcity mentality, right? I was thinking back to those stages when I was stuck in thinking and stuck in acquiring, and I would check my bank account all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I would literally check it almost every day. Like, I don't even know why, thinking that it would change. I was so nervous, so scared, right, about not being able, because I was focused on acquisition, I was so scared that I wasn't going to be able to produce what I needed to acquire that next thing, right? Like, maybe I was wanting to purchase a truck because mine was ran down and I was just so pissed off that I had to keep fixing my truck, or, you know, pay for a trip for my family, or just buy like a nice shirt because I just wanted to buy a nice shirt, you know, like update my wardrobe. Dude, you want to know how my bank account when I was living that way? Dude, it never increased because all my time and energy was focused on scarcity, right? But weirdly, that scarcity was attached to wanting to acquire more because I hadn't done the proper work to like really understand why I wanted to acquire more. I hadn't even like defined why the more mattered, right? I hadn't been mindful about like, oh, why do you want a new truck?
Yeah.
What does that mean for you? Like, do you just want to look a certain way, right? Are you just pissed off because your truck's broke down? Or are you grateful that you even have a truck to get you from point A to point Z? You know, like all that stuff was clouded. And so Ikigai, dude, like finding your passion, your mission, connection with people, abundance, helping, growth, right? Like that doesn't happen by staying stuck in the mentality of acquiring more for the sake of acquiring more. The real better question pulling all this in is like, define what more means for you, right? And what it means for the world. And do that work and then get curious on how you can make it happen, you know? But don't be fearful, because what's crazy is when you do that work, it's amazing the dominoes and how they start to fall, because now you're living a tried and true principle that produces and has produced for thousands and thousands of years, right? And there's data to back that up. Man, like.
And if you do that truly, dude, you'll notice people that live that type of lifestyle that really focus on what their purpose is, what their strengths are, and go and what their mission is in their life. If you focus on that, you forget that you also like, it's nice to acquire things, if that makes sense. It's like you lose yourself in the work because you're so passionate about it, and because it brings you such fulfillment that the acquiring, it's not even a thought on your radar.
Yeah.
Because you're so fulfilled and you're so happy living your purpose through your mission with your strengths, right? And if you do that with an abundant mentality and you trust in that. You trust in that, like you know that that's what you're supposed to do, and you trust in that, and you move that direction.
Yep.
It's amazing what the universe will do when you start moving into the direction you're supposed to be moving.
Totally.
It's amazing how the path will be created for you, but you have to take that jump. You have to do that, and trust in yourself that it's going to work out. Trust in yourself and know that it's going to work out to eventually make you some sort of gain, right? But it's not about that. It's about providing what it is that you were meant, what you're meant to do while you're here.
Yep.
And if you can do that, truly, truly do that, the weight that you have right now of feeling like you need to acquire everything to provide for everybody, it starts to diminish.
Totally.
That pressure starts to diminish and it starts to go away. But at the same time that that goes away, you actually start taking care of everybody around you and actually start being that person that they need you to be.
Absolutely.
So very, very, very powerful. Dallas, is there anything else you want to say here before we wrap up?
I'll bring that, what you just broke down, to an actual real life transition, right? Like, and this is the invite. We'll just end with an invite is, I valued, back then, I valued a new truck. That's what I valued. I didn't truly value, or the value didn't outweigh in this area as far as helping, contributing. Like, I didn't understand that that was actually a prerequisite or something that needed to be higher up on the value list, right? But like in my mind, I did. Like in my mind, I would tell myself like, oh yes, you value service, right? Like you're a good person. Like, and I was a good person. Don't get me wrong, dude. Like I was just learning, right? Like yeah. We learn. But I learned about myself that like I did value acquisition. I did. I valued the new thing, right? I valued the new thing just for the sake of valuing the new thing, man. Like I just wanted it, right? But I couldn't truly get there yet, meaning this is my own personal experience, because I believe there was a lesson that I needed to learn, right? And when I started to learn those lessons, all of a sudden acquisition became a lot simpler. Acquisition came by way of getting my values in check, right? I valued, that transition looked like me valuing helping others above everything else and bringing my ikigai, right, like to the forefront and defining my mission, honing in my skill sets, living properly, right, as a person with the perspective of, hey, this matters because these people matter. Like this community of people matter. Connection matters, right? And helping the world become a better place matters. Not just this school that I work in, but like everything. How are you going to contribute? How are you going to do this? All of a sudden, my days were filled with that. And my days weren't filled with a scarcity mentality and acquiring more. And then all of a sudden, it was like I woke up one day and it was like, oh, I think it's time for a new car. Oh, sweet. Like we'll go get a new car. But the value that I put on that new car, the car represented not a new car. It's just a tool to get me from point A to point Z. And yeah, if it's nicer, sweet. Like, but I no longer spent time, energy, and allocated it that direction because it didn't really matter. My values were finally in check. And that is liberating. That is exciting. The smile on my face, if you're watching, like it's just it's a completely different approach and feel to life. And so, yeah, I just wanted to bring that full circle, but hopefully you're able to glean a ton from today's episode.
No,
we covered a lot and we jumped around a little bit, but man, this East meets West world, it's a game changer. And again, thinking is important, but thinking without mindfulness, right? That can be catastrophic if we're not careful.
So good. So good. Dallas, thank you so much, my man. For those of you that are joining us for the first time here, thank you for joining us. We're happy to have you here. Please come back and join us again for the Daily Drips and the Aloha Friday episodes as well. Real quick, before we wrap up here, I want to announce next month's Book of the Month. Next month's Book of the Month is going to be The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday. So next month's extended cuts, we'll be diving into that again. The Obstacle is the Way by Ryan Holiday, one of my favorite books, one of my favorite authors. I'm very excited to dive into this one next month. Dallas, thank you so much, my man.
Thank you, brother.
This was a great book. This was a great book. Thank you for choosing this book to have us read. Really helped amplify my perspective in my work.
So
that's
good.
That's really what it's done. So appreciate you. Appreciate this book more than I think this book probably understands. But we also appreciate all of our listeners. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. Take care, y'all.